Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dusty here on 96.5 The Fan. Gorgeous day, blue sky, perfect sun, good air, good day to play golf, good day to see how wrong we got it into the script. Not a whole lot of time because I was letting negativity affect my positivity. That will no longer happen the rest of the week. I promise you that. Damn glad to have you all listening. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. We're going to go into a positive direction. This is where we get self-deprecating. I feel like I was really wrong this week on the script. Go ahead, Mac, and let me see where I got it wrong, baby.
The games. I know we're...
Whoa,
well, there you go. That sounded like me a little bit. But we'll recap the script, all brought to you by our good friends over at Foaling. You can check them out at 435 and State Line. Book your lane at foalingkc.com. Going to be close for the first half, okay? It's going to be one of those games where standing in the concourses at halftime, commiserating, going, I don't know what's going on here, you know, one of those type of games. I know we're going to have those moments around halftime in this game against the Denver Broncos. Fans will be nervous because the Chiefs will only be up by a small margin at halftime, whether that be 3 or 4 points. Then Patrick Mahomes will take over. We'll see DeAndre Hopkins build on his game from last week. He goes 7 catches, 85 yards and a touchdown. Worthy shows up big this weekend. We're going to see that jet sweep. We're going to get him involved early in the offense because they want to rebuild his confidence, let everybody know that they didn't lose confidence in him, even though he didn't know where the sidelines were last week and had a really bad game last week. This is the game they rebuild his confidence. We're going to see him get that jet sweep, maybe a handoff. They're going to utilize his speed, let him realize some success. That's why Andy Reid is the best in the business, because when somebody's feeling down, he knows how to prop them back up. So we'll get that early jet sweep, gain some momentum, gain some confidence. He'll come up with a big 40-plus yard catch as well on Sunday. Kareem Hunt, still the workhorse in this offense. He'll score you a red zone touchdown. Kelce continues his hot streak. 6 catches, 75 yards and a touchdown. Chiefs pull away in the second half. They'll win this thing somewhere 28-10.
These games are always kind of ugly to start, as Bob mentioned. It's messy. It's gross at the beginning. I predict the Broncos, you know, as we see the Chiefs sometimes do, let up an early lead, right? Spags kind of figuring things out at first. Bo Nix really excited. He mentioned he's really excited to play at Arrowhead. We'll see how long that lasts. They get an early lead. It's off, you know, something stupid, though. It's a great return. It's a blown coverage. It's a missed tackle from the Chiefs that we saw last night in that Ravens game where it's an 82-yard touchdown just because he didn't tackle him and get him out of bounds. And after that, the Chiefs will settle in. And then I kind of expect just dominance and control the rest of the way. This will be the first game Kareem's been back that he won't score a touchdown for the Chiefs. He'll have a lot of yards, but yeah, he won't get in the end zone this time. It'll actually be Carson Steele. This week he'll get in the end zone on a short 1 yard fullback dive of some sort. Kelce will get in the end zone, and Xavier Worthy will also get pay dirt. Kind of like what Bob was saying, Andy Reid, you have a bad week, he's going to force feed you that ball. He's going to make you feel confident again. And then Josh Uche, the newcomer on the defensive side, he's going to get his first sack as a Kansas City Chief.
I like that play.
Yeah, 24-10 for the Chiefs.
It looks like.
Yeah, I don't even remember.
First off, I want to start my script with, you know, and most importantly, a warm welcome to Bo Nix, who's excited to play at Arrowhead.
He played good, didn't he?
But we'll also be excited to exit Arrowhead as well after this game.
That was fun for the first 10 minutes.
See ya.
Yep. Be careful what you wish for would be my message to Bo Nix. I will say this, last week versus a bad defense in Baltimore, they were aggressive. This week, Denver will be conservative. That will get him beat and beat bad. Chris Jones, big game.
Nope.
Two sacks.
Nope.
Justin Reed, hard-hitting vet, once again making his presence known on the field. Trent McDuffie will still not have an interception, but he will have a play that we will be talking about on Monday.
Yes, we
I don't know
are.
What that play
yeah,
is, but it'll be something as a fact. Bob Fesco will look at me in the face and say, boy, Trent McDuffie made another one of those Trent McDuffie plays. I think the other thing that will keep continuing to happen is Mahomes and the 2024 trio will continue to ride that kingdom wave. Kareem Hunt, Travis Kelce, DeAndre Hopkins. That will lead the way on the offensive side. And two of those three will score. Chiefs will win. The score will be 31-13, and they will clinch the AFC West, as it will then be on to Buffalo, where they will try to clinch the AFC's number one seed. That is my script.
Nobody had Nazi Johnson for the star of the game, did they?
Nope.
How good was he yesterday? A 17-yard sack by Nazi Johnson. That guy was all
awesome.
Over the place yesterday. I don't know. Did we do good or bad on that?
Bad.
Hey, we said they win. They won.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We were wrong on Bo Nix. He was good yesterday, right?
He was really good.
Yeah.
Bo Nix was really good yesterday, though? It feels good to be wrong.
Yeah, yeah. It's fine. Yeah. I have no problem being wrong. But Nazi Johnson, can we give him a few roses today? Like,
yeah.
Man, my God.
Nazi Johnson. I thought was okay yesterday.
He was good. Nick Bolton was good again yesterday. Yep. But Nazi Johnson finishes with 10 tackles, one sack, a tackle for loss, quarterback hit. Like, every time I looked, he was on one side of the field, then he's on the other side of the field. Like, that dude was all over yesterday. I thought he grew big yesterday in that game and played well when they were clearly targeting Trent McDuffie yesterday, maybe for the first time. But, Trent, good learning moment for Trent McDuffie. Obviously, he's going to learn more from that game than he is from going out there and not getting any, balls thrown in his general direction. So I think, a good learning moment for him. He still finished third on the team with six tackles yesterday because they were targeting him. But Nazi Johnson was fantastic yesterday. Nick Bolton with a big sack yesterday as well. Those two sacks that they had yesterday combining for over 30 yards in sacks.
Jeez.
I mean, those are game-changing type plays. And that's why when you look at this team, if somebody doesn't play well, somebody else does. And if you would have told me Trent McDuffie was going to have a bad game yesterday, I said, boy, it's going to be a close one. Nazi Johnson, though, that guy stepped up. Nobody had that on their bingo card. And again, that's what goes back to why this team is so much better than everybody else's team, because they have guys like Nazi Johnson on their squad that step up and play big when you need them to step up and play big.
I've got a comparison I want to get back to on the other side about baseball and football and this Chiefs record and what it means moving forward here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5, The Fan.
What a great song. Good voice, good band, great band. Great day. It's a beautiful Monday in the neighborhood. Dusty Liggins with you, Bob Fesco with you as well. Mac Morey playing all these great songs here on 96.5, The
Just
Fan.
For you, bro.
That's right. You're home for Kansas City sports. Chiefs 9-0. They win yesterday 14-16, 16-14. I guess you can give a reverse score every once in a while as they power through. Yesterday's game gave me a little bit of a baseball sort of reference. The Chiefs improved to 9-0. The Chiefs have been a team this year that have shown dominance in ways that maybe you haven't seen it before. And yesterday's game reminded me of kind of a perfect game in baseball. We found out earlier that it's only happened 24 times in its history.
Should have been a 25th, but Jim Joyce made the wrong call.
Yeah, it was Jim Joyce.
Yeah, I feel bad for that guy. Like, of all people in the world to feel bad for, like, him, like, he's so just despondent still, I think.
Yeah. And there's only been two perfect regular seasons in football. Football, obviously, hasn't been around as long. I don't know.
105 years football's been around.
How
now.
Long is baseball? Longer,
it's like
at least?
Starting the 1880s.
Okay, so at least it's a little bit
that.
Longer. Yeah. But when you watch a perfect game or you go back and you remember perfect games, there always seems to be a couple of plays that kind of give you the, well, if this like outlier of a play doesn't happen, then the perfect game doesn't happen. And the one I remember is Mark Burley. And thanks to the text line earlier, Wise was the guy's name in center field for Chicago. He made this athletic, acrobatic play to save Burley's perfect game. There was also a couple of other plays in that game that I remember that were made. Burley made one himself, and then there was, like, I think a play at shortstop. And you think about that, and you're like, yeah, he got 27 outs straight through it. And what's funny is that you go back after you realize, like, oh my gosh, this guy just threw a perfect game. You go back and you think to yourself, But to be fair, there was a couple of plays that elevated that to happen. And that's what this Chiefs season kind of reminds me of, because you look at the way this season has gone, and if they are chasing perfection, which is what they're doing, because now they only have 7 games left, 2 of which might be tough. Buffalo is going to be a tough one this week. And I think Pittsburgh's probably tough or more tough than that Houston game is. But you go back and you look at this game. They win the first week by a toe. They win the week 2 game against Cincinnati by 1 point, and Jamar Chase has a tipper tantrum or a Dusty Likens moment. And then, you know, that game yesterday, Leo Chenault blocks a field goal, which he's done before, and he executed it well. But it's little things like that. If the Chiefs do end up going 17-0 in the regular season, that you will go back and be like, yes, it was great. But to take the subtext of it as well, you look at it and you think to yourself, man, you remember that like way the Baltimore game finished, like from the jump, like we should have known. Maybe that was foreshadowing the entire time that this season was going to come down to, you know, little things like this. And watching that game yesterday gave me more and more, because as we get longer and longer into this season and more wins keep coming, you get more and more to the belief that, holy cow, these guys might actually do this.
Well, no matter how good you are, you need a little bit of luck on your side as well. And plays that happen like that yesterday, you know, they can sit there and tell you they designed it all, but the odds of blocking a kick are very slim, you know, in the NFL, and especially at that point in time, lining up for like a 25-yard field goal, an extra point, basically distance for a game winner. It just doesn't happen in this league. So you have to rely every once in a while on a little bit of luck. It happens. Even the best teams will tell you, yeah, we had a little bit of luck along the way. The ball bounced the right direction, or, you know, somebody made a play that we didn't expect them to make. And that was that play yesterday by Leo Chenault. It happens all the time during special seasons. Go back and look at any, you know, Royal season, 14, 15, this year as well. There's moments in those seasons where you look at it and you go, damn, that just tells you this is going to be a special season. Whether it's a, you know, Bobby's big performance against Seattle, MJ hitting a home run against the Tigers in August, that, you know, at the time you're looking at, does that game matter? That game mattered. It was a huge win, you know, for the Royals and whatnot. It springboards you. It gives you that juice. It gives you that energy that you need to kind of keep moving forward. That win yesterday, man, if that team had lost the game, I'm sure they'd be depressed today. Their heads are hanging. All right, we got to get ready for Buffalo. Man, I can't believe we lost that game. Mm-hmm. And then they find a way to win that game, and that gives you the energy. But every team will tell you in professional sports, the best team on the field that day doesn't always win. The team that plays the best at the end or makes the plays at the end or gets the ball to bounce their way. And you don't ever apologize for luck. You don't apologize for having the ball go your way, because a lot of times too, when you're a good team, you do create a lot of your own luck. And that's because of the coaching. The Chiefs are just so much better than everybody else at all of the most important spots on the field. GM, coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, quarterback, leadership, all of that stuff. They're just better than you, and they find ways to win. And when you're a winning team, that's what you do. You find ways to win. When you're a losing team, you find ways to lose those type of games yesterday, like the Denver Broncos did. Not that they're a quote-unquote losing team, because they're much better than I thought they would be, but look, the Chiefs are the greatest team in the NFL. They may go down as the greatest team in the history of this league, and they're going to pick up a couple of things along the way that you look at, you know, maybe a little bit of luck along the way help them, you know, to that. And that's fine. Right? That's what happens. Yeah, that's life.
Sometimes we have a saying, it's better to be lucky than good.
Absolutely. And people will tell you that in life, you know, be at the right place at the right time, or it's not what you know, it's who you know, or you just happen to be, half of life is showing up, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. All those cliches are true, and they matter, and it means something. And with this organization right now, they played their tail off. They're getting everybody's best effort every single night, and they're sitting at 9-0. And yeah, they had to use the block field goal yesterday to get it done. Who cares? They did. Don't apologize for your wins. You go out there, you celebrate them like everybody did last night. And, you know, still this morning, I think everybody's still for the most part on cloud nine. And now we get ready for Buffalo beginning later on today.
Interesting question here, I think. What do you think a win like that does to a team? I know they're 9-0. They don't really need, like, because, you know, you get the reference in baseball all the time where they're like, yeah, this team needs like a walk-off home run or like a big sort of offensive explosion. Like, do you think something like that, where you win by the skin of your teeth on a blocked field goal with 1 second left, where the probability of a win is 1%, do you think that does something that's not necessarily awaking a sleeping giant, but is it more so like, does that give them more oomph to keep going?
I think it gives you more oomph to keep going. Yeah, I do.
I mean, I'm not saying that they're going to stop or get late. I'm wondering a win like that does to a team that's undefeated.
No, I think you look at that win yesterday and you go, okay, we got that win. Okay, now let's think about how we can make it easier on ourselves, right? Like, what do we need to do to get better? You learn more from your struggles. You learn more from your failures than you will ever learn from your wins. And that's why, like, when people want the 41-14 game, that feels good for us as fans. That doesn't do anything for the team. They don't gain anything out of that. But you know what they're going to gain out of yesterday? All right, we found a way to win, guys. We know how to win games. But let's try to make this easier on ourselves. Let's look at our tackles. Let's look at Trent McDuffie, who had a bad game yesterday, and coach him up a little bit. He's going to be better for his, you know, performance yesterday. So I think you can take a lot out of that game yesterday, and Andy Reid can still go in there and be the coach and, like, I told you so, you got to start doing this, even though we got to win. But I'm still telling you, man, it's going to be a lot easier if you do this and you do that, you do the other thing, and we get better play, you know, from our offensive line. It'll give the quarterback some more opportunity to get out there and make some plays and do all that kind of stuff. Like, I think you can learn a lot from a game like it was yesterday. And just look at the reaction on the sidelines. Nobody thought they were going to win that game. Did you guys see Andy Reid's reaction on the sideline to that yesterday? Nobody thought they were going to win that game. The odds were so stacked against them. That's why we're in the midst of a special season, because when the odds are so stacked against you and you still find a way to win, I know we keep using the term lucky, but it's lucky plus good plus being prepared. And that's where this team is right now. At times they are lucky, which every team is. They're good and they're well prepared. And if they weren't well prepared for that moment yesterday, if Leo Chenal didn't recognize that that guy was a teetotaler or whatever you want to call him on the backs of his heels, and they could bull rush right through him, they don't get that play done. They've got smart players. They've got smart coaches. They've got good players. They've got good coaches. They know how to be put in position to win. They know how to execute and take advantage for it. And I think that win yesterday, man, I saw the guys, because I didn't look at the field after the kick was blocked. I was hugging total strangers, right? And going back and watching the video, everybody's at the far end of the field running around. Like, they had the same type of emotion that we had yesterday. And that carried me all through the night. It's carried me all through the morning. It's probably going to carry me all through the day. But then eventually you got to get back and refocused on what the task at hand is. And it's a big week now against Buffalo.
Well, and something else that this team has that no one else has. Yeah, sure, it's the Andy Reid, it's the Mahomes. The stuff on the field, the X's and O's is all there. We see it every week. But they have a belief within themselves that other teams just can't have. Other teams haven't won back-to-back Super Bowls. You know, other teams aren't 9-0 and haven't found every way to win, whether it's a deep ball, whether it's scoring 30, whether it's, eking out a win with defense, whatever it is. Like, this team has an innate belief now and even before this season that no other team's going to be able to catch up to. Like, that's going to take years of success and a culture that's been built over time that the Chiefs just are running away with, and that shows every Sunday.
Yeah, you're right about that. The culture is huge right
it's
now,
massive.
And they do believe that they're going to win. But that's how I am. Like, I go back to the 13-second game, and they're down, and my wife's on the floor crying that they're going to lose this game, and I'm sitting on the ottoman, and I'm going, we're fine. Like, they've created this belief in me, you know, almost a 50-year-old man. Yeah. I'll be 48 in April, right? Like, you're not supposed to change your ways when you get to be old. But, like, this team, I just have this innate belief that they are going to win every single game, no matter how much time is left on the clock or where they are on the field or who has the ball. Like, you just believe that they're going to win. And when you believe that you can do something, man, that mind's a powerful thing. The positive thinking, man, you got to have it. And if you have that power of positive thinking and you believe that you can get it done, chances are you are going to get it done. If you don't believe that you're going to get it done, you're screwed.
Speaking of belief, I think I finally get it when it comes to division games. So the Chiefs have played everybody in their division this year, and they've won by a combined total of 16 points.
Wow.
Now, I know the Chiefs aren't blowing people out, and there's other games that they've only won by one or whatever, but
I think they have the lowest scoring differential in the history of teams starting 9-0 or something like that in NFL
it's
history.
Plus 58 or something, yeah.
And
plus what?
I think it was 58.
Let that sit there for a second.
I know.
It's crazy.
It's insane.
And you look at these games against the divisional opponents, 17-10 against the Chargers, 27-20 against the Raiders, a bit skewed.
Yeah, a bit skewed.
And then that game comes down to a block field to win by two. I think also in this game where we kind of, not to like debunk your theory, because I'm the same way. Like, I used to tell my dad all the time, like, do you know who's quarterback?
Yeah.
Like, do you know who's quarterback? Also foreshadowing to what this game was going to be, because I was talking to your wife Saturday at the landing, and I was like, so, you know, tomorrow when you go to the game, like, how's that? You know, you guys won't leave early. She goes, we don't leave games early anymore.
Yeah.
She goes, I had to leave the wild card game early because my kids were young. We had to get home.
They were 3-4.
She said 5-4, I think. Yeah, or 3-4. Yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
And she's like, from this point on, Bob and I won't leave early. And then that game happens, and I'm like, no way you leave early.
So it goes back, though, to me being a kid, and my dad would always want to leave a game early, and I would say, I'm not leaving early. And we were at a game at Yankee Stadium, I don't know, in the 80s or whatever, and I said, you know, they were losing. I said, I'm not leaving early. And some random guy behind me goes, I'll take your kid home if you want to leave early. And they ended up winning in the 10th inning on a walk-off home run and whatnot, right? And I'm like, see, this is why we don't leave games early. And that's just something that I, you know, now if it's 42 to 10 and there's 2 minutes left, that's a different conversation. And Damon Heward is your quarterback. Feel free to get up and go. Yeah. I saw people walking out yesterday and I'm thinking to myself, what, where are you going? Like, how do you not like stay and watch the end of this game? It was probably the same people in sockless loafers and khakis that were tailgating yesterday, you know, as well, that are just there to be seen and, you know, whatever the case may be.
It's a great look.
It really is. I hope somebody puked in your loafers, though. To be honest with you.
Like a white, nice cotton polo with some khaki pants.
Yeah, hey, how you doing? I've got myself one of these guys, right? And I'm like, okay. But like people were walking out of that game early yesterday. I'm thinking to myself, boy, you just haven't seen this team. Right. And it wasn't a lot, but it was enough.
Can I ask you when?
When what?
When they started walking out. Was it when they got the first down with like a minute 30 left and the Chiefs didn't have any timeouts?
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Yeah, yeah. Here's where, like, I'm not playing devil's advocate. I guess I am. So the Chiefs are never out of it. But this was the first time, and I don't know how long I can remember, where it wasn't in Mahomes' hands. Like,
right.
Denver did the exact thing that every team has tried to do for years, where it's like, there literally was, like, I'm watching the game, and like you said, people started walking out. There's nothing Mahomes can do at that point. Like, that's the scariest point. Now, the thing that I think that fans saw is they're like, well, I'd stick around if, you know, Denver was going to kick this field goal and there's a minute 10 left and they're going to kick it to Patrick Mahomes, because I know that that game's not over.
Right.
But this was one of those situations where, like, the Chiefs called all their timeouts. They banked on stopping Denver. They did not stop Denver. Denver had a chance to kick a game-winning field goal. It was inevitably blocked. But I feel that's where the line in the sand is drawn, because this wasn't a moment where it was like, well, the Royals are up in the bottom of the ninth. This was one of those things where it's like, yeah, there's two outs, Rivera's on, and the guy hitting is a 114 hitter. Right. I know the game's over. Whereas, yeah, you still left. It's on you. You have to own that forever. I left the opening day game when Carlos Beltran hit a walk-off home run.
That was a great game.
Octavio Dotel. I heard fireworks go off, and my dad and I literally called each other on the way home on I-70. I said, we're never leaving a game early again.
Yeah.
The thing about that game yesterday, though, that was the first time, at least I can remember, guys, where Mahomes didn't necessarily have the option to bring this team back on his own.
Yeah, you're right about that. But you know what? He did have a defense that's one of the top in the league now. And they go out there and make plays. And I heard a story yesterday, and I don't know if it was on the postgame show with Danon and Josh and Mitch and Art and all those guys, or if I heard it on Football Night in America. I was a little drunk after the game yesterday. First time in a while I got kind of, you know, a little into the booze on a Sunday, because I was so happy and it was just celebratory. So I don't remember where I heard it, but somebody said that the defense actually said, let's let them go down the field and score and get the ball back for Mahomes. And Steve Spagnuolo says, over my dead body, we're going to go out there and we're going to get an effing stop. And what did they do? They went out there and they got an F. Like, I'm getting giddy about it again. Like, if you don't get goosebumps and the hair's not standing up on your arms after hearing that. And Spag said, no, we're not doing that. We're going down there and we're going to park a car and we're going to kick the crap out of the quarterback and we're going to make a stop. And that's what they did. And they, and like, it's just, it's such a storybook fairy tale life that we're living right now. And I don't want this to end. I don't want this to end. And I'm going to enjoy every moment of it and love it up and have that feeling that I had yesterday, man. Like, that's a very rare feeling, walking out of a stadium.
Oh, that's crazy.
Just feel like, and Mac, you were there as well yesterday.
Was everybody doing the chop on the way to the car?
Oh, God, yes. Yes, we were. It should be.
So what's your three-leg parlay after every big win at Arrowhead? It's like the tomahawk chop's getting made.
Yeah.
Somebody's
banging on the things on the spiral.
Banging on the thing. I was doing that.
There's definitely somebody close to you banging a cig of nerves.
Oh, no question.
Just nerves.
Yep,
like,
yep.
Bob probably could have had one yesterday. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean,
and then
I lost my voice for the first time since I can't remember.
Oh, that's
great. I mean, I feel so happy and so full of joy this morning. And it's great, man, because like I said, we're all going through crap, man. Life isn't great. Nobody likes everything that you have to deal with every day. And to have that 3-hour period period where it's just total joy and total fun, and then to walk out of the game and to have it continue on the ride home, and nobody wants to turn the radio off because we're listening to all the post game stuff. We can't get enough of what's taking place out there yesterday. Like, that's why we love sports. That's why it's so awesome. And that's why, like, when people are negative after a win, I can't live in that world, and I won't live in that world. And I'm just going to be excited and love everything up, because, man, that was a wild one. And I'm sure if you got these guys, you know, with some truth serum in them and started talking about that game yesterday, they'd be like, I didn't think we'd win this thing. There's no chance I thought we'd win this thing. And they did. And they found a way to win. And now they're like, we can kick everybody's ass. Mm-hmm. We're going 17-0.
Here's Nicole Hartman after the game.
Actually, I was talking to D-Hop, and he's like, man, this game over. I'm like, nah, it ain't. I said, I've seen some crazier things. I'm like, we just got to just see what happens. And obviously the block happened.
Now DeAndre Hopkins is forever a believer. Like, listen to that again.
I was talking to D-Hop, and he's like, man, this game over. I'm like, nah, it ain't. I said, I've seen some crazier things. I'm like, we just got to just see what happens. And obviously the block happened.
I mean, the 13-second game, the blocked extra point in the Super Bowl, this one,
down
just
24,
down. Like, the stuff that this team has overcome, there's enough of a body of work that should tell you now, regardless whether Mahomes or whoever has the ball, there's an opportunity to win these games. And if you left yesterday because you thought the defense couldn't get the job done, then you really haven't been watching this year. Because you know who's made the plays when they've needed to make the plays? The defense. The defense has made the plays when they need to make the plays. Butker put everybody in an enviable position. What was that kickoff, by the way? Like, what the hell was that?
Is that one of those, like, I got cute moments? Or, I mean, because I can't understand it.
I don't know. Bob and I talked about the kickoffs last week. How, like, why aren't we kicking it out?
Just kick it out of the end zone.
Well, that's what Harlan said, too. Yeah. He just did the same thing. That's cute. No, but that's what Harlan said. He's like, normally Butker boots it. And they're like, it's weird that, like, that, like, that's one of those things where I'm like, you know, like, I don't know, like, maybe, you know, Mahomes tried to finesse that deep ball to Worthy a little bit, or, you know, because I will say this, and again, I'm not being negative, I'm just saying, like, yeah, the throw to Kelce in the back of the end zone should have been a touchdown.
Yeah, it was a bad
wide open.
Like, that's one of those ones where you're like,
he missed DeAndre Hopkins in the end zone in the first half. He's dancing around.
Yeah, he's sitting there, hey, give me.
And that's the best part about yesterday's win, is that your best player on your roster wasn't Superman. He was superhuman.
Yeah.
And the defense and the special teams, they always have, I forget what show bit it is, but they do like the three aspects, and it's like offense, defense, special teams. Offense, defense, special teams. Mm-hmm. You have to look at all three aspects of the game. And that was one of those aspects in the game where, like, yeah, it wasn't the Mahomes, Kelce, DeAndre Hopkins, Kareem Hunt game. It wasn't the Trent McDuffie lockdown corner game. For sure,
the Leo
it wasn't
Chenal
that
game.
It was a special teams win.
And years later, we'll go, remember that Leo Chenal game? And you're like, oh, my God, the block kick. How cool was that?
And you know? Nuts, man, because, like, that is one of those games. Like you said, you were with Ben Maller, who was in town for the meet and greet on Saturday. And at the end of the game, you FaceTime me, and I'm like, oh, God, what's Bob FaceTiming for? It's a shot of Fireball. Ben Maller's on the camera, and Bob just looks at me and goes, do it. And I just chugged a beer, spit it into my camera. And then, you know, that was, I think, everybody's reaction. And, like, we can dive into it a little bit more as the week goes on, as we get into Buffalo week. But today's one of those days where, you know, a freak win happened. Things didn't go your way.
And you still found a way to win.
You still won.
That's why you're a great team.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It is awesome.
I think we're
first
still
things first is the one that does the three aspects.
I still think at times we're still living in a world that Patrick Mahomes created where we're supposed to win games 35-10, and it's just not the case in the NFL. Games are hard to win. No matter, I feel like we say this a lot. It is hard to win a game in the NFL.
Yeah,
it is hard to win a game when you're the best team in the NFL and everybody is playing you as their Super Bowl, because they know what's at stake if they beat you. They become the talk of the town, the toast of the league for that week. Everybody wants to beat you. Yeah, we may have finished 2-14 or whatever, but by God, we beat the Chiefs. You know, we got that to hang our hat on. We beat the best. Like,
what did we say last week? You get everybody's Super Bowl?
You get everybody's Super Bowl every week. So not only are the Chiefs trying to go out there and win a football game every week, they're essentially going out there and trying to win the Super Bowl every single week. And it's so damn hard to do. And we're sitting at 9-0. It doesn't matter how you win. Nobody's giving you bonus points for anything. The only thing that matters are W's and L's and W's and L's, no matter how you get there. There's no style points. There's no KenPom ratings that you have to achieve success in. Mm-hmm. You just have to win your games. And that's why it's called a team sport, because that was a team win yesterday.
Mac wants to call somebody, not a listener. He wants the Chiefs to call somebody. We'll let him explain what he means by it on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan. You're listening to Fesco and Mac here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Kansas City! You ready? You ready? 3, 2, 1, go! Welcome to the Red Kingdom.
35-yard attempt, well within his range. 18 of 20 this season. His Lutz, and one of those misses, a 60-yarder in the half. 35-yard attempt from the far hash. Dixon, the punter, will hold. Fraboni is the long snapper. Lutz waiting for the snap. Placement is down. Lutz's kick is blocked! It's blocked! It's blocked! The Chiefs blocked the kick! They're going to stay undefeated! The Kansas City Chiefs blocked a 35-yard field goal attempt! Kansas City wins this game on a blocked field goal!
There you go, the beautiful sounds of Mitch Holtis. You could have heard that here on 96.5 The Fan, 106.5 The Wolf, or sister station, or in your head the rest of the day. Chiefs win 16-14, a great win, a fantastic way to keep going, a divisional win. Division wins are hard, man.
Hard.
They're just tough to come by, and you've got three of them already this season, and by a combined total of 16 points.
How many?
16.
Okay, so you've won your division games by a combined 16 points. Mm-hmm. You've won all your games by a combined 58 points.
Wow.
Oh, my God. The goosebumps are just crazy right
now.
That's
amazing.
Think about that for a second. Two of the greatest players in the history of the franchise are the point differentials between your division wins and your overall wins. And whose giggle's better, Mac or Danan's?
Mac will always win, but Danan's is just... It's that high
so
pitch.
Yeah, he's like wheezing. He's laughing
like
so hard.
It's a guy that played in the league.
Yeah.
That does this every Sunday. Yeah.
Correct, which makes it even better.
It's way
right?
better.
That's what I love. When guys who did the job look back and go, oh, my God.
That was, that
I
mean,
I just got nothing for you, right?
So it's no secret. No run game yesterday.
none. Yeah.
I mean, none. And... the only running we really saw was Mahomes for his life.
Mm-hmm.
Mac, you got a phone. Who do you want to call?
Ghostbusters.
Man.
He had it.
Give me Donovan Smith's number, bro. I mean, this is the answer. Very rarely in the middle of the season do you have like a solid starting left tackle that has played with you not 5 years ago, last season and won a Super Bowl with you, that's sitting there available. And like that is the biggest need on the team right now is the left tackle. And he's sitting there. If you can call him up, get him off the couch. Hey, it's week 10. Be ready by week 14, get in shape for a month in the facility. We'll get you ramped up for 3 or 4 weeks until week 18. By then, you've been starting for a month, and it's playoff time, baby. We need a left tackle. This Kansas City team has Mahomes running for his life. Donovan Smith, we saw him do it. An above-average job last season. It's rare that you get an opportunity like this. I'd be surprised if Brett Veach already hasn't called him.
Well, let me ask you this, Mini Bink. Would you consider moving? Would you consider hitting Brett for Miller? Would you consider moving Joe Tooney out to left tackle?
My question for that is, who replaces Tooney?
Nick Allegretti's not here anymore right now.
Yeah,
he's gone.
Yeah. That's the only thing I'm saying.
No,
like,
I know. But Kling texted me during the game yesterday, and he's like, it may be time to move Tooney out to left tackle, right?
Because he's done that before with the Chiefs.
Yes,
right?
He has. It 2 years ago where everybody was injured and they had to move Joe Tooney outside, right?
He did well.
And then somebody asked Andy in the post-game press conference about it. Somebody also, what did I text you guys was the other dumbass question of the day that somebody asked? I'll look it up in a second. But somebody did ask Andy yesterday, are you considering moving Tooney to left tackle? No. And that was it. Like, which tells me there may have been some kind of conversation about that right now.
How many bad games do you think you're allowed to have as a tackle in the league? Because that's what Wanye's second bag, or is he just, do you blame the injury?
I blame the injury. I blame still being very young in this league.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll blame those.
And whatnot. But he's got to start showing better, though.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, because of the way that I'm looking at it right now is
maybe
that
I'm a bad football fan, but I didn't recognize anybody's name on the defense for Denver. Except Surtain, obviously the second.
Surtain,
but like Mitch was telling us, is like, look out for that D line, man. And I maybe that's bad on my part for not looking into that. But like, I didn't really know those guys, but they were dominant yesterday.
They were. Yeah. No, they dominated that line of scrimmage yesterday, and that's something that absolutely needs to be fixed.
We won the
game,
but they lost it in the trenches.
Yeah, they did. They lost in the trenches, and they've got to get better down there, right? There's no doubt about it. Andy Heck, the offensive line coach. Let's go, Andy. What the heck is going on? Someone asked Patrick Mahomes yesterday if it feels like a win. Does this feel like a win?
That's what it was. Yeah.
Jeez. Well, it was.
Did you see the way he reacted in the game? He did this.
Yeah.
He did the helicopter.
If you were at Arrowhead yesterday, that felt like a win.
It felt like the best win ever.
Did it feel like a win? No, it didn't. It felt like a what a dumbass question.
Idiot.
Are the three? I feel like I'm going to get cooked for this one. Are the three of the top five best defensive lines on three not so great teams? Like the Giants have a really good defensive line.
Oh my God,
the Titans have a really good defensive line. Yeah, and Denver's got a good defensive line.
Denver's got a good defensive line.
No, I think that's great. I think that's a good take, actually.
Yes.
It's weird.
Brioche.
It's weird how that is. Like, it's just.
It is.
And I mean, look, that's the recipe to beat the Chiefs yesterday, man. Pressure and don't give up run yards. No rushing yards and pressure on Mahomes, and it was tough.
Right, you ask who they could put a guard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to say three names. Tell me if you've heard of any of these people. Like Caliendo you have, because it's Frank's brother.
Uh-huh.
Of course.
We got a guy on the team named Hunter Norzad.
Yeah, they drafted him this year.
Okay.
He's a hybrid. He's like a safety guard or a center guard.
Yeah. He's listed as the backup to Creed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other backup guard to Trey is somebody named C.J. Hansen.
John's brother.
Juice all over the place.
So, I mean, you're not.
What's going on with that?
You're not deep on the offensive line. They got an Ethan Driscoll that backs up the right tackle spot.
Oh, that's Jeff's brother.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So, yeah, I don't know.
I love this text.
The answer to that question is who could. It's not here.
I love this text from the 816. Screw it. Let's put Chenault at left tackle. That guy can do anything.
Yeah. Let's do it. Yeah. Well, I do like that.
Well, when you talk about moving Joe Tooney, my only qualm about it is me and brother were talking about Joe Tooney to Trey Smith and Creed in the middle there. That is maybe the best threesome in the entire league.
Yeah. Ooh.
Like that unit right
I
there.
I think
those
of a better
three.
One.
You're starting to.
Paige Sporanic.
Yeah.
No, sorry.
But that interior, I mean,
that lady
it's the
we
strongest
met.
Part of the team and maybe one of the strongest units in the NFL. I just to make that weaker.
No, I understand what you're saying. Do you weaken a strength to make a strength weak strength stronger? And look,
of course, yeah. That's
what about Dan Kilgore?
Is he ready? Do we have Kilgore?
And is he playing?
And is he playing today? But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to trust Andy Reid on this. I have to. Like he's an offensive line guy,
for sure.
And you know we're 9-0, so maybe they do go out and sign somebody. But I've been around teams, you know, and usually they're losing teams when you go out and sign these guys like at this time of the year and you bring them in. And I'll never forget, there was this guy when I was covering the Rams. I don't even remember what the hell his name was. And I said, you know, I said to him, like, he was an offensive lineman. I said, what were you doing? He goes, I was sitting at home eating Doritos playing video games. And that's always, like, been in my mind. I'm like,
I love Doritos.
Who doesn't? But if you want to be an NFL athlete and you tell the media, like, what were you doing yesterday? I was sitting at home playing video games eating Doritos. It doesn't, like... ring a lot of confidence, but I'm sure like Brett Veach probably knows somebody somewhere out there that's available and you know can come
in
here.
Or we're living in Brett Veach town,
we are. But also too though, like you got to look at some of these guys and say, "We're at Thanksgiving, dude." Like,
yeah,
God, you gotta play better,
aren't we?
Play better.
We're getting ready to get like Friendsgiving and like I love me a Friendsgiving.
Yeah, so me too.
Oh man, this year I've been tasked to make broccoli cheese rice. You ever had it?
Broccoli cheese rice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. Very good.
That's a random.
Yeah. That's my item. Somebody's making mashed potatoes. Somebody's making green bean casserole. Last year, the guy that made green bean casserole ruined it. He didn't cook the beans before he put it in the mix.
You're supposed to cook the beans before you put it in the mix?
Or at least cook it longer.
I don't know.
They were hard beans.
Jeez.
Jen made some hard asparagus yesterday. The other day.
She made it yesterday. She was probably ham bone.
Not yesterday. It was earlier in the week. And it was like, come on. You got to cut the ends.
Sometimes when you make a bad meal, you got to just own it.
But I'll tell you, that roughage that goes through, it cleans you out, drags it all out. Mm-hmm. You know, with that.
Now I'm no longer hungry.
Roughage.
Coming up on the other side, our Chiefs.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Contributor Josh Briscoe.
Maybe he'll have an answer for us.
I bet he does. I'd like to know what he thinks about left tackle. We'll do that on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station. 96.5 The Fan.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.